Hey everybody, Nick here. Just a little heads up. Both Slick and I have been having problems with our Skype recording because Skype decided to do an update and didn't decide to tell us, and it's been taking a while for us to try to get even this recording up. So bear with us. It sounds a little tinny, but we will be back up next week, hopefully with a better sounding recording. Like I said, nothing big, it just sounds a little. Yeah, like we're stuck in a can. But hey, maybe that's where you want us. Okay, enjoy the rest of the show.
Remember this voice. We are back. Well, I know you two remember this voice because you hear it often, but I'm talking about the people out there that might be listening. Do you remember this voice? Because it's been going for a while. As it has her voice. Who's her?
It's me.
It's Slick, and that was Nick. We are back after our little hiatus because Nicole was out gallivanting with young men in... you know, seedy places like California and Las Vegas, and eating tack back and Slim Jims and. Did you actually consume any of that?
We had to, if we wanted to be there in the room, we had to consume both the tack back and a Slim Jim together. You talk about the most greasiest taste ever.
What does the tack back taste like?
The tack back, it just tastes like bacon, but really really salty.
Oh, God. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. we are back. We were on a hiatus, and this is what Nicole is referring to as season two, which I find slightly amusing.
we're starting again.
Yeah, exactly. So, we do have a special guest with us. We are coming back strong.
Yep.
We have, you want to introduce yourself, special guest?
No.
It's got chicken legs.
Yes, we have Gurr. All right.
I got monkeys in me.
It's actually a man who discovered a monkey. Well, or no, wait, what did you discover? Was it a monkey penis? What was it?
Yes, monkey penis. I found, I didn't discover it. It's not like, it probably belongs to a known monkey.
Well, it belongs to someone at some point or something at some point.
You'd hope so, or else it's kind of like Red Dwarf. Starting the penis gets away.
That, folks, if you don't know, is Mr. Mikey, Mr. O'Sullivan.
Also Hitler.
British Paleo. Paleo Hitler. And Annabelle, apparently. Do not call him G-Wolf, because just don't go down
his name
road.
Is Annabelle.
His name is Annabelle.
Well, welcome to the show.
Hello.
We love our guests.
You'll get past that.
Wait till later when we get going on the main topic.
Whoa. Yeah. That's why we're a special guest. He says you'll hear the slight cryings of an Irishman when we get to our main topic.
It'll be the rantings, not the cryings.
It did make him cry the first time he saw it.
It's all someone's fault. Anyway, as we usually start the show with, we won't say obviously what we've done. We'll touch on what we've done since the last show, but I don't think we have to cover all of it. But,
no, that'd be way too.
Usually, yeah, exactly. It's like basically this week. What did you do? What did you see? What was of interest? You wanna start that, Mikey?
I did nothing. I finished university, so I've got very little to do at the moment.
Yay! That's not a big thing. Finishing university is awesome. Congratulations.
No, it's not.
It's too. Well, apparently,
it's not relieved.
I don't know. In the last couple of days, it hit me what I'm trying to do from now on. And it sort of went, oh, crap.
The real world. Oh, my fucking God.
It's coming right at me.
I don't like this feeling, Mom. Take it away. Well, congratulations anyways. I'm proud of you. I know you worked your tail end off for it, so.
I get worked up.
Did you see any movies lately or buy any new figs?
Saw Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfectly serviceable movie.
I agree. I think you fell into the not overly impressed category, I think.
Well, it's not good, but it's not as bad as some reviews made it out to be.
Exactly.
But I don't know anything about Green Lantern, so I'm only viewing it as a point of view of the viewer. That whole thing at the end made no sense in the context of the movie.
See,
incredibly forced.
I think the movie was made for people that don't know a whole lot about Green Lantern.
But if they did, they screwed it up, because at the end, I went with a friend and we came out of it and we were both sort of going, okay, I know who that is because Andy told me. But in the context of the movie, that is not who you were developing.
Gotcha.
I don't want to give spoilers or anything, but it's something that I'm sure comic book fans expected, but the movie does not work up towards this in the least.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, hang on, we got this character, he's like this in the comic, yay, we'll do this, but you made him different. No, we're doing this, but you just spend a whole movie making him different.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's got to do the thing, he's got to do the thing with the thing, but I want my hour and 45 minutes back, please. Start over, and you know, I just want to know when they were watching the final cut of the movie. Do you think anyone sort of looked around and said, you know, that makes no sense in the context that we've done it? Yeah, why don't we change something? Nah.
I see where you're going from, because I think a lot of people were expecting. I don't know if the
character development.
Yeah, I don't know if the producers were expecting people to already know who Green Lantern was, kind of like Superman. I mean, with Superman, you know who the bad guys are and stuff already.
Yeah, I was having a chat with a friend afterwards, and he said he reads comics a lot more than I do, and he knows nothing about Green Lantern.
Oh, I love Green Lantern. I don't think Green Lantern's one that you can assume people know about. You know what I mean?
Well, it's only gotten big in the last few years.
Exactly.
And that's like the first comic book superhero that I really got into. I was never a mainstream comic book reader until recently, and that was like the first one I picked up on, the mainstream superhero. So I like Green Lantern. The lore is really awesome. So, like, I agree with you, Mikey. I think it wasn't the best movie, but I don't think it's as bad as people made it out to be.
Well, I doubt I'll ever see it again, I'll be honest. But
I'm also a Ryan Reynolds fan, so.
Yeah, but it's not really Ryan Reynolds' fan, is it?
He did act like Ryan Reynolds. Like,
that's not why you're a fan, though.
Why?
Because you're a crazy pervert.
I like Ryan Reynolds.
We know.
Somebody finally called that out on the show. Thanks fuck for that.
I am not a pervert. I just like pretty boys.
Wow, that didn't sound at all creepy. I'm not a pervert. I just like
pretty boys.
Anyways,
he's a pretty boy. I had a pretty boy with me, and I took him to Las Vegas.
And he had a pretty man.
He left as a pretty man.
Did you do anything? We're talking
about to America now.
We're talking to people who went to America.
America?
America. This is going well.
Hey, thanks, Mikey. Did you get any new toys?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a receptor.
Ooh.
Yeah, and now back up to Nicole. this has gone well. Isn't it?
Mikey, why do you hate? Why do you hate me?
Oh, listen, she even sounds like Andy now.
Yeah.
I hung out with Gog and Andy a lot while I was on vacation. So
interesting combination.
Gog has a white man's afro of power.
It's true.
She said earlier tonight. But what about you, Nicole? Did you do anything or buy anything of interest?
Why I was at BotCon, I only bought one figure because I spent most of my money on frickin' parking. California and their parking rates. Oh, my Atlanta. Oh.
What?
I could have brought but...
That was the cold way of cursing, without cursing.
Oh, my Lanta, yeah. And I bought a transmetal to Spitor. He changes into a frog. So, that's the only thing I bought besides my bot concept. We did go to a few movies. Like I said, we watched a couple that were actually worse than Green Lantern. We watched Battle Los Angeles, which is probably the most pathetic movie I've seen in a long time.
I've got that on my computer right now to watch, and I'm kind of afraid.
Oh, if you do not like Shaky Cam, you will hate that movie.
Oh, I'm not watching it then, because that's what pissed
that's
me off.
That's all it is. It's horrible Shaky Cam. You've got 30 seconds where they're still. Everything else is Shaky Cam. I'm like, please get me out of this theater. I'm getting nauseous. See, we watched Thor again. We watched Hangover 2.
How was it?
It was funny. Not as funny as the first one, but
That's good. That sounds good to me, because the first one was so good. I'm like, oh, this one won't be as good.
It has the same elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still funny, yeah.
The one scene in the commercials that I was, like, crying, laughing. It was Ken Jeong singing Time in a Bottle in the elevator. I have known nothing of the context, but that scene alone just made me laugh really hard. So I'm like,
that guy definitely steals the movie.
Oh, he steals every movie he's in. He's awesome.
I know. Love him. He's going to be in Transformers, too.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, he's going to be in Transformers. And let's see, we saw X-Men. And what else did we watch? Oh, and we watched a couple IMAX shows, because we went to this dinosaur museum that's over here, and apparently Mikey hates Andy because he went to the dinosaur museum.
No, I just hate him because I know every bit of video he's taking is just going to have a scene where he turns around and goes, you know what? I'm here and you're not. Also, I'll be honest, the image of him worshipping an Archelon will haunt me for years.
It's a big
just on his knees, bowing to its hail, giant sea turtle that kind of reminds me of Gamera. Hail.
Is there a picture of that on your Facebook, Nicole?
Yeah, it's on my Facebook. So.
Holy shit, I don't remember it. I looked at all the pics. I'll have to look at that again.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's funny. No, we had a lot of fun. I mean, I could go on for like hours about everything we did, but... that's basically it.
And that would just be the sex. Oh! No.
Oh, Slick.
I'm sorry. I had to go that route.
So Slick, you why we were.
I haven't done much.
That
was wrong. I couldn't help it. What have I done? I certainly didn't buy anything. I've been... downloading and watching stuff. What did I've been rewatching Torchwood and like Eccleston's era of Doctor Who. So I've been rewatching that stuff.
Which season of Torchwood?
All of it. I actually rewatched. I still have like the last few episodes of the second season to rewatch, but that is so gut wrenching. It was so gut wrenching the first time I watched it that I'm kind of hesitant. But
I'll be honest. That's the only season of Torchwood I think they got right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. Children of Earth was an interesting idea, but upon watching it a second time, there's a lot of things about it that are very frustrating. But I do love that show. I'm looking forward to the new season, which is going to start in a couple weeks. So that should be cool. That's why I was rewatching them. I did watch a movie last night on Andy's recommendation called The Fourth Kind, and all I can say is do not engage.
I liked it.
I hated this movie for so many reasons.
I liked it.
The idea is brilliant. The execution was shit. That's all I can say.
See, I watched this the first day that it came out into the theater, so it was like really fresh and no one gave stuff away.
Well, I didn't know anything about it.
I liked it, but I agree with the
acting is abysmal, though. It's terrible.
That's true. That is true.
Really bad. But yeah, it's another one of those where the idea was a really cool idea. Just I didn't think the execution was great. But I was either going to watch that or Battle Los Angeles last night. So I think that I was going to be fucked either way.
Trust me. Pick the right one. Trust me. Battle Los Angeles was one of those movies. It wasn't 2 hours long. And I swear I was in the theater for at least 3 hours.
I did watch both Crank movies the other night as well.
Crank's an interesting idea. It's one of those ridiculously fun movies, though.
Well, that's the thing, is that I knew it was going to be just that, and they were ridiculously fun, but I enjoy that, and I like Jason Statham. A lot of people don't, but I think he's...
I like him.
I love Jason. But the second one, there's a scene where they're battling. They're like, it's like him fighting some guy, and they're made to look like Godzilla monsters.
Yeah.
Fucking, I was like, okay, this has gone from bog standard ridiculous into a whole new level of ridiculous. I thought it was great. It was too funny. Mm. But that's about it on my end. I haven't been up to much, so I've been pining away for Nicole.
She's missed me, as everyone should.
Oh Lord,
my arrogance. Well, should we get on with some news?
Yeah, get some news going.
Okay, well, we'll start off with what happened at this weekend's box office. We've been gone for a while, so a lot of these movies came out while we were gone, but we'll see how they're doing. This last week, number one, I bet you can't guess what number one was this week. Green Lantern brought in number one, and I have a feeling with the reviews, it's going to drop big time next week.
Yeah.
Number two is Super 8. Oh, that's another one we watched. Super 8 was really good. It was a fun...
I was hoping that would be really, really, really
good. See, because that was the one that I was excited for, and then I saw a preview to it. I'm like, I don't want to see this anymore. And then
Why did you not want to see it anymore?
It just looked too teeny bopper.
Oh.
With the previews that we saw. And then God's like, no, go see it. And I'm like, oh, it's really good. It's a good... It's a classic Steven Spielberg alien flick. I like it. It was really good. Number three, Mr. Popper's Penguins. Haven't seen that one yet, but I will see that this week.
Because one of your bitches is in it.
Yeah, exactly. Number four, X-Men First Class. Number five, Hangover Part 2. Number six, Kung Fu Panda 2. Number seven, still hanging in there, Bridesmaids. Number eight, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Number nine, Midnight in Paris, which I don't even remember what that's about.
I just hope it's not a porno starring Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Number 10 is Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer.
Oh, God.
Yep. So, those are your top 10. Looks like a lot of people are spending money this year in the theater, and it's spreading out. You don't see, like, just a big sum of, like, one huge blockbuster movie. You've seen a bunch of different blockbusters here, so... So those are what's out right now. But this coming Friday, we got a couple of new ones. We've got Bad Teacher, the one with Cameron Diaz, it will be dollar movie night for me and the girlfriends.
I love Jason Segel, but I don't know that my love for him exceeds my hatred for her. So. That will probably be a down the line kind of a thing.
And then number two is The Cashing Cow, Cars 2. So,
Stu is so excited for Cars too.
Oh, Stu, don't be that guy.
He loves Cars. He loves Mater.
No, it's just don't get excited for a sequel, even if it's a Disney sequel or a whichever one this is. Pixar. Pixar has failed us at times.
Yeah, but I'll.
Granted, then they gave us Toy Story 3, which you reach a point, holy crap, they're going to kill all your favorite characters.
I'll probably go watch this when it comes out on DVD, most likely. Speaking of DVDs and Blu-ray, the ones that are coming out this week is The Adjustment Bureau and A Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules. Those are your two big ones. So that's what's coming out. Are you guys going to be seeing anything?
I do poor.
The only time I'm seeing is Transformers next Tuesday. I'm booked in from the 9 o'clock showing on Tuesday.
Oh, sweet. Are you going to see an IMAX?
No, we don't have an IMAX near here, but I am seeing it in 3D.
Let me tell you, because we got a preview at BotCon with a bunch of the 3D, Michael Bay actually did it right.
Don't say that. It sounds wrong.
It does.
Oh, that's like a 7th sign. Shut up.
The 3D, the parts that they showed us, at least, great. Very well done. So, yeah. I know it sounds sick that I said that. Michael Bay actually... did it right, but he did. So I'll be seeing it in 3D for sure. So
probably will too. Yeah, that one I definitely want to see. And Harry Potter.
I've got to see Transformers on the big screen here. The big.
I'll probably wait until Harry Potter's on DVD before I see it.
Because, well, the thing is with Transformers, if you go see an IMAX, you get more footage as well.
No, that was the idea at first. They came out this time and said they're not doing what they did with Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And to be fair, the only thing in the Revenge of the Fallen IMAX version that was even worth seeing was the extended forest fight. Because instead of having Optimus beat the crap out of everyone within 100 feet of him, the extra footage is basically him getting his arse handed to him.
See, and I wish they would have re-released when the DVD and Blu-ray came out of the first movie, because they actually had some extra scenes that made sense.
I've been looking for these extra scenes for the original movie, and I've never seen them.
I've never seen them anywhere but when I was in the theater.
All right, what were they? Honestly, I'm curious.
Oh, let's see if I can remember. I can remember them when I'm watching the movie. I'm like, oh, wait, a lot of it had to deal with Sam's friend Miles. Miles was actually in most of the cutout scenes. The poor kid, off his teeth.
His friend Miles? Who's Miles?
He's the one that's like, bros before hoes, dude.
Wait a minute, are you talking about the second one or the
first
one?
The first movie. Yeah.
Is he the one that hangs from the tree?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, God, that guy was such a non-character.
The
so
thing is, when you go to the, when you see the cutout scenes, he's in those scenes. At the very end when they're in Mission City, this is the one I remember, they explain how they get the walkie-talkies, the big walkie-talkies. Because if you remember in the movie, they show a pawn sign, a pawn shop sign. Well, Josh Duhamel's character actually goes in and talks to the pawn shop owner, who is Sherry Shepherd. You know who Sherry Shepherd is?
No, I don't remember anything about walkie-talkies either. So.
Yeah, Sherry Shepherd's one of the gals that's on The View right now. And, yeah, so they have this whole dialogue.
Oh, that and, black lady.
He has to barter for these walkie-talkies and everything. And so when he gets back into the vehicle, and Tyrese is like, what are these, dinosaur, you know?
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, you understand why.
Not anything that's terribly
No, that scene made more sense to me. Like, I can't remember some... I have to watch the movie and be like, oh, yeah, they cut out this right here. Anyways, we'll go on to some movie news. And here's something that, I don't know, will either make Mikey glee or cry. So Steven Spielberg is thinking about bringing back Jurassic Park in the fourth film. So he's the one that wants to be a part of this. But it's been 18 years since the first one came out. Can you believe that? Still one of the best issues of CGI. Nothing is definite. It's just mostly in talks right now. So, Mikey, what do you think about Jurassic Park 4?
I'm not really sure there was enough story for Jurassic Park 2 and 3.
Exactly.
No, I like The Lost World, and I realize I'm actually in a bit of minority there.
I like it, too.
But I think it makes what they do in it makes sense in the context of the movie. If you go beyond it, you're in trouble. But my feelings for Jurassic Park 3 are not exactly the world's best kept secret.
See, and I like 3 better than 2.
That's because you're a bad person.
I've never been able to get through 3. Oh, Jesus.
It's very, very dull.
I've read the Lost World book. And so when I was trying to watch the movie, I'm like, what the hell?
Well, I didn't read the books until after I saw The Lost World. But I'm not jumping for this, I'll be completely honest, because, honestly, I mean, there was a script put forward years ago, and apparently this was genuine, where there would be a Jurassic Park 4 film, where the plot would involve trying to train raptors to help with military or police work, and it would go horribly, horribly wrong, which is maybe a decent B-movie sci-fi.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with the movie franchise that introduced the world to what CGI can do and still looks fantastic today.
Well,
have the option of going, and we're going to be all silly now. And I don't... The problem is, it's a limited storyline in Jurassic Park. It's an island. Dinosaurs are loose. Man should not have messed with what man messed with. And moving on. Unless, as a sequel, I can't think of anything else they can do.
Well, would 3D sell you on it? Because they're doing this in 3D if it comes out.
I don't care about 3D, if I'm completely honest. But
you don't want to see dinosaurs coming at your face? Well, you could see that at work.
I can see that if I get my electrode mad. But I don't know if they reboot it, which I suspect it probably will be. I don't know what are you going to do to make this worth a reboot. We're in the time where movies are about less about original ideas and more about going back 10 mm-hmm. or 20
and mining stuff. Yeah,
sometimes that works,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it doesn't. And I just don't know what you could do with Jurassic Park as a reboot. That would be remotely.
See, I still love the first movie. If it's on TV, I'll sit there and I'll watch it. The thing is, I had such a great experience. One of my favorite movie experiences was for Jurassic Park, because this was back in the day. This is going to age me. When midnight shows didn't always happen. They only did it for certain films. And you had to get your tickets, like, weeks in advance for these midnight shows. And you had to spend, like, an extra, like, $10 or whatever for it. But when you got there, you get, like, the swag bag full of stuff with the logos and stuff on it. So we had tons of – we had the Jurassic Park bag and shirts and little mugs and stuff. And, yeah, that was such a big thing. So, yeah, I'll always remember Jurassic Park being one of my favorite movie experiences.
Well, I mean, I saw it when I was 7. And there is a
– Oh, God. That's going to make me cry.
I was walking around. I couldn't even figure out what Upside Down was. But it was, there's actually a bit of a story in it, in that we were out in the country, so you didn't really go into town to see the cinema much. In fact, I think I'd only ever been in once beforehand. There was a video shop up the road, and we had one of those video vans that went around, so the idea of waiting for something to come out wasn't exactly stressful on us. And then the ads came on, and I don't remember a time when I wasn't a tiny dinosaur nut. So, of course, ads for a dinosaur movie come on, and I'm running around the house trying to bite the dog. T-Rex. And she didn't appreciate me that week. My father...
T-Rex or your dog?
My father came up to me and said, we have to go into the city to buy shoelaces.
Oh, they surprised you?
They surprised me in that we were walking through town saying, now we have to get the shoelaces, and I was sort of wondering why we have to drive half an hour to get shoelaces. I was looking over across the road, and there was a big shoe shop, and I was just pointing and saying, we're going over there, and he said, no, we're going in here, and he pointed up. I just looked up, and it's the big T-Rex sign. I can honestly say I've never made such a high-pitched noise in my life.
I've heard you make some high-pitched squeals lately. I can't imagine what that would sound like.
I made a bit of a fool of myself, and I bounced up and down in my dad's arms.
Oh, cute.
And we went in, and we came out. I hid behind a chair for half the movie. But when you're 7 years old, that movie is pretty scary.
Hell yeah.
Ellis was frantic, and I remember getting so excited a year later when we got the video, and I managed to make myself sit through the whole movie. I spent 2 weeks trying to just force myself to, because I'm not much of a horror. I was never a big horror fan. Mm-hmm. I would just sort of, I'd hide behind the door and lean in every time there was a scene that would make me jump. So I was very proud of the fact that I made it.
So
Jurassic Park means a lot to me. And you can't ruin that movie for me. Nothing can ruin that movie for me. I just don't want them coming along and saying, well, we can't ruin the movie for you, but we can mm-hmm. we can pull, I don't know, something like something else did recently and take something wonderful and make it bad and only expose, the modern generation to the bad. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because a lot of children today have not seen the original Jurassic Park.
Which is a shame, because it is a good movie.
Yeah. Well, I've seen Jurassic Park 3 or The Lost World, maybe, but... And, it's like trying to convince some people to watch anything, a comedy series from the 70s or the 80s. They just hear how old it is. They won't go see it.
Well, like I said, but it's 18 years since it came out, so it's crazy. I can't believe that was 18 years ago. I remember that day very fondly, very well.
I saw it at home the first time. I was living with my brother and my sister-in-law and my nephew. And I remember being surprised that my nephew, who's a couple of years younger than Mikey, so he was probably like 5 or something. I remember just being shocked that he wasn't more afraid of certain things in the film, like the lawyer getting eaten off the toilet didn't even seem to faze him, and I was like, damn! But I remember watching it just at home. They had rented it, and they're like, "You need." I think they had taken, they had gone to see it at the cinema or something, and they were like, you have to see this. And I could not, those dinosaurs were absolutely real for me when I watched that film. They completely, you know what I mean? Like, you completely believe that the, God, I love that movie. It's,
although I will say, it introduced raptors to the world, and now I feel kind of, I felt bizarrely old ever since. Because at 7 years old, I'd gone through half the 80s and the first 3 years of the 90s, sort of in the days before anyone knew what a raptor was. So for some reason, anytime someone comes up to me and says, my favorite dinosaur is a velociraptor, I sort of think, you came in the bandwagon.
Yes.
Oh.
See, I don't know why. It's been 18 years, but it's still the bandwagon.
Well, they did, and I've heard people say that, like, those aren't proper raptors. They aren't really velociraptors.
The velociraptors
were more like the size of chickens or something, but I don't know if that's true or not.
There's a big, actual, long story in that one.
Oh, okay.
Basically, velociraptors are about big turkey size and height.
Oh, okay.
But when Michael Crichton wrote the book, there was a bit of argument over what they were classified as.
That makes sense, then.
So there's an animal in America called Deinonychus, which mm-hmm. at the time someone was saying was a different type of velociraptor. So mm-hmm. Crichton wrote the book with that size idea in mind, although he kind of screwed it up halfway through the book, but that's a whole other story. And then when they were doing the movie, Steven Spielberg apparently was getting a bit annoyed because there wasn't an animal. He wanted to try and be a bit more accurate than most dinosaur movies, and there wasn't an animal. The velociraptor wasn't as big as they were trying to make it out. And then during the movie, Robert Backer, who is the craziest paleontologist in the world.
Yes, he's delightfully batshit.
To the point where he's made some fantastic discoveries, but he's generally treated like, he's basically found these discoveries because he just throws stuff at you. Eventually something's going to stick.
But it's amazing how often he's been proven right, though. But he's still, I would guess.
It's the volume of work. That's basically it. If you didn't.
Yeah.
But he found an animal called Utah Raptor. Yeah, he's still going strong, actually. Mm-hmm. He found an animal called Utah Raptor, which he said was much bigger than Velociraptor. And they said, yes, we'll use that, so we'll just use that as the size basis. And now it turns out Utah Raptor weighs a ton and would dwarf every other animal in the family, including the ones in the movie. So it's up in the air what the hell they are now. Raptor or Velociraptor or giant turkey.
That's one, the crazy turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll move away from dinosaurs. We'll go on to some crazy, depressed French folk. How's that?
Those cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Yeah. They are trying to start up yet another Les Miserables movie. They did have one back, I want to say, 99, with Liam Neeson in it. Of course, I remember. But they're going to be they're getting it all put together for the big on-screen epic. Basically, it's going to be 3 hours long, and they've got Hugh Jackman as casted. The thing is, they got Hugh Jackman, but they don't know if they want to have him play Jean Valjean or if they want him to play Javert. Now you studied French, didn't you, Slick? Did you ever have to read this book?
No.
Okay. This is one of the books I had to read for my French literature class. So it's a great story, really depressing. Personally, I would like to see Hugh play more of a Javert than Jean Valjean. But so be looking for that shortly. We'll give you updates, or I'll give you an update of if there's some major casting. And then,
I'll be holding my breath.
I like Les Mis. So that's why.
I know nothing of Les Mis. All I can think of when I hear Les Mis is that bit in Family Guy when Stewie gets excited because he and Brian go see it live, but they make a last-minute casting adjustment, and it's going to be, oh, shit, what was the guy from Growing Pains? Kurt?
Cameron?
Yeah, he was going to play Jean Valjean. And Stewie got very excited, but Brian wasn't too happy about it.
Oh, I remember that now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
on to the next piece of news. You heard me talk about Hangover 2. Well, there was a lawsuit going on, like, a week before the movie opened about the tattoo that is in the movie. You've seen the tattoo, which is a representation of Mike Tyson's tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it plays a fairly big part in it, because I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll shut up about that. But the tattoo artist says is that they did not get his permission to use his art, and so they've gone on to, you know, they're just having this huge lawsuit, and they even put out the movie even with court pending, and they're like, well, we'll just CGI it out something different when the DVD comes out. Well, apparently they've paid them enough money and the tattoo will not be CGI'd for the DVD release. Apparently he was happy with the money. Yeah. And I'm sorry. This is what pisses me off. It's not your art, buddy. It's a tribal tattoo. Do you know how many tribal tattoos are like that, especially in New Zealand when a lot of people have tattoos, facial tattoos like that? Ugh, just drove me nuts. So that lawsuit is taken care of, and you won't have to worry about any pixelated pictures on your DVD or Blu-ray releases. So, yay! And that is it for major motion picture news. What you got in horror?
The first thing I got is Tim Sullivan's new movie, I Was a Teenage Werebear. Cracked me up. It's described as a funny, subversive spoof of the Eisenhower-Kennedy-era beach movies. He's got it. Tim's from, I still don't know how to say this, it's Matuchin or something like that, New Jersey. I should know how to say that, but he's a Jersey boy, and he's got the film debuting in New Jersey on July 9th. So if you guys are in that area, I would highly recommend you go. Tim's movies are a lot of fun, and they're going to show it with Detroit Rock City, which is, for me, a really great film. I suppose it helps if you're a huge Kiss fan, but Tim was actually, he didn't direct Detroit Rock City, but he was a producer on it. And I recently watched that film again and forgot how much I loved it, so that's quite cool. So July 9th at, I forget what the hell's, we'll put these in the show notes, yeah. Won't we, Nicole? I forget the name of the theater, but
it's Farm Theater Art Center.
That's it. Dread Central's presenting it, and it's only $15 for both films. And he will be hosting the films and do a Q&A after both films.
That would be fun.
So, I know, I'm so, I would give anything to go to this.
Because I like Detroit Rock City. I don't think I've ever seen I Was a Teenage Werebear.
Well, this is, it hasn't been released yet wide.
Oh,
or
okay.
Anything. So this is just, he's had it at a film fest in Hawaii, and so he's kind of doing it here and there right now. So, yeah, it hasn't been seen yet. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
Going for the title, I Was a Teenage Werebear.
It sounds like a fun cult classic.
Oh, it will be, definitely. Knowing Tim and his movies, yeah, definitely. So look out for that if you're in New Jersey or in New York anyway, anywhere in that area.
Yeah, that tri-state area. I mean, it's not that far from you people.
Mm-hmm. Lucky buggers. And that's like days after Tim's birthday, too, so he's going to have a good week that week. So that should be awesome. Let's see. The next thing I had, I did actually pick this bit of news because there wasn't a whole lot of news. And also, because Mikey's on. But I had not heard of this. They're actually just calling it the Dinosaur Project because it doesn't have a proper name yet. But Studio Canal announced this back in May, saying they have started principal photography on it in South Africa. South Africa. And there are going to be some fucking prawns in it.
Yeah.
but it's the interesting thing is that TV program makers Sid Bennett and Tom Pridham and producer Nick Hill literally walked into the London office of Studio Canal, this was last November, with an idea for a movie, quote, about a father and son documentary team who discover dinosaurs in the African jungle, end quote. And Jenny Borgers, the head of production at this studio, she said it was a very gettable pitch, which, gettable? Okay, that's got to be like film speak. But anyway,
what would happen if you went into the jungle and found dinosaurs? Well, as Mikey pointed out before we started recording, this has been pursued in the past. And so it's not really a unique idea, but I just kind of like the cojones these guys had, that they had an outline, a showreel, a budget, and a plan, but they didn't actually have a script. So they got a studio to okay it with a budget under $16 million. And they've got a couple people cast in, people I've not actually heard of. Peter Brook from Red Lights and The Dark Knight is cast as Charlie Rutherford, and Natasha Loring. There's a picture of her on this, and she's playing Dr. Liz Draper. So I'm thinking it's going to be kind of like...
Generally, doctors never look plain.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was going to say. It's kind of like, who was it? Was it Denise Richards who played Dr. Christmas Jones or something in a Bond film? So if you're going to be a doctor along those lines, she's not going to be one that looks like she knows what she's doing like Mikey. So, but,
No, don't lie to people. Don't lie to the people. I don't know what I'm doing.
You could perpetuate things here. Come on. We can create a mythos for you.
It'll
be your own Mikey canon.
Mikey's great with anything dead already.
And I'm the one who made him dead.
Oh, Paleo Hitler. There's not a whole lot of information on this. The fact that they've cast this woman as a doctor kind of makes me a little sad inside. But maybe it'll be good. I don't know. There's very little info, but I do like that these guys had the balls to get a film okayed without a script. So
they're saying it's going to be under $16 million.
Yeah,
I'm the only one expecting Carnosaur again.
Carnosaur? Yes, I couldn't remember the name of the film. I'm not
Carnosaur with missing puppets.
That was terrible.
I'm dressing as a kitten.
It was unfortunate, as we may say. Oh, God. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I look forward to them actually getting a name for the film. I hope they don't actually release it as The Dinosaur Project.
Dinosaur.
That's funny. And then the last thing I had was, I thought this was kind of cool. It was a list that Bloody Disgusting had of the top 10 horror films with big-name casts. And as they said, it's a sad fact that many A-list actors are very wary of starring in horror films, either out of fear that they'll be seen as, quote-unquote, slumming it, or that they're kind of elitists about the genre itself. And the flip side of it is that many hardcore fans don't want to see A-list actors, which I don't agree with. I think if
the role's good, they should take it.
Yeah.
If the script sucks, just give it to someone that's starting out. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, casting is casting, whether it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the right person in the role. Anyway, they did the criteria, for this list was, I just lost where it said it. It's everyone's opinion on what designates a big name cast, obviously different, that's what he said.
Yeah.
So the criteria was, the movie stars in question have to be big names at the time they appeared in the film. So, obviously, they were known. It's because, you can go to, I think it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 actually has Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger in it, but that was before either of them were known. So, great thing they were famous at the time. No hot-for-the-minute teen stars or up-and-comers qualify as movie stars. Actors big with horror audiences but not widely known by the general public don't count. Oh, I can see what he's saying like that. And stars famous simply for making sex tapes don't count. So basically, Paris Hilton.
why did Paris both come to our minds, you know?
Well, he said there that I saw her name. So, and then he said also the criteria for the number of stars appearing in a horror film in order for that film to qualify depends on the totality of star power possessed by the ensemble cast. Okay, well, anyway, to the list.
This really, to me, isn't horror.
First thrill. Yeah, the 10, I was going to kind of hit each one like that, okay. but Tangent Lies Beneath. But yeah, generally speaking, I don't count a lot of these as what I'd call horror. What Lies Beneath I've never seen, but yeah, it was Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford.
Scared the bejeebus out of me.
Really?
That was
she
very well done, I think.
She dies and does she possess the second wife or something?
It's the plot is kind of complicated, but it's just there's a lot of misdirection and some really well-timed jump out of your seat moments.
Yeah, I remember. It's a couple of them.
And I saw it with my sisters, and they're not exactly easily scared, are my sisters. And I can honestly say I've never heard them both shriek watching a movie before.
I think I know which part you're talking about, so.
So it just... Of course, I was holding onto a big cushion at the time instead of digging slowly more into it. But like I said, I'm not exactly a horror buff by nature.
Number nine is The Devil's Advocate, which definitely horror aspects to it. It's that one's. I enjoyed that film at the time. I can't really watch it now though.
Probably haven't seen it probably in 10 years, but
yeah, it's been a long time. Number eight is Hannibal. I never saw it. I read the book, and the book was, I have to say, Thomas Harris is one of the most boring writers ever. And to think that he wrote Silence of the Lambs, but,
How is it that Silence of the Lambs isn't on this list, but Hannibal and Red Dragon are?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because number seven is Red Dragon, but there's no Silence of the Lambs on it. Silence of the Lambs, which took, you know, top four Oscar film, top four Oscars and stuff.
Silence of the Lambs was the one that creeped me out. But the thing is, I think that's the movie that actually made Anthony Hopkins a household name.
Oh, I would argue that, but then again, I consider Anthony Hopkins probably the greatest living actor.
Yeah. I would argue that, too. I think he was pretty damn huge before that. Maybe a little more so in the States, but he was around for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I think that might have been the film that kind of made people fully appreciate, but...
I think it's the one just because of the type of performance. It's no matter how big you are, there's always going to be one performance that people just go, that's the one you were in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Most people will associate you with that one role more than any other. Then after Red Dragon, we have number six is Shutter Island, which I've not seen. I've not read the book, but...
To me, it's not a horror flick. It's one of those thrillers that you're just like, okay, what's going to happen next? You know, you're trying to figure it out before the movie ends.
I think a lot of these, though, do have touches of, like, maybe supernatural or...
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably where they're getting the horror from. Like, in number five, Zodiac, the subject matter is definitely horror, and I think this is one of the best I've seen in the last 10 years. I was shocked at how good it was when I finally saw it.
Read the book, but didn't.
But but I wouldn't count it as a horror film by any stretch. The subject matter is horrific, obviously, because we're talking about the Zodiac Killer, but the film itself is more about the guy trying to break the story and figure it out than anything else, so, and what it does to him. But I would highly recommend Zodiac to anyone who likes films, just across the board, I would have to say.
I have to go check it out.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how good that film was. Number four, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Coppola's Dracula, if you will. That I would count as horror for sure. That I actually really quite like that take on Dracula, outside of Keanu Reeves being horribly miscast in it. And them not being able to figure out what's up with his hair.
Yeah.
Right, it's white, it's black, it's white, it's gray, it's black, it's... But I do like that film. I always did. So I think it's quite cool. Number three, this is so not our Interview with the Vampire. Jesus Christ.
It's got monsters, but that ain't a horror. That doesn't make it horror.
Exactly. I'm still pissed off that Tom Cruise was Lestat. I remember I had just finished reading The Vampire Lestat when they announced he was playing him, and I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I like the movie, but retroactively it's been ruined for me because it started it.
The vampire craze?
Yes.
Started the vampire craze because I like vampires. I think they're a cool concept. I even like movies where there are good guy vampires because I like the dichotomy of having a monster who's actually a decent person or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But It started the, oh, look, you're all tormented and,
yeah.
Where did that lead us?
See,
where did that lead us? Consider.
That's another thing that,
I am right for Twilight. I really do.
Well, see, I was always a vampire fan ever since I was little. And I remember growing up watching Lost Boys, and people would ridicule me, like, oh, how can you like vampires? That, like, that's such an old genre. You know, I get made fun of because I like vampires. Now, that's all the rage.
I prefer werewolves, I'll be completely honest. But vampires are fine. I mean, you know, people can mock you if you liked watching Buffy years ago, but anyone who didn't think Spike was cool was not paying attention.
Oh, Spike was awesome.
Yeah, you know, that show may have gotten bogged down in stupid, sappy teen romances, but every time that James Masters was on screen, vampires were cool again. But Interview with the Vampire was a decent movie, which unfortunately led to the idea that vampires are tormented and need hugs.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Which, unfortunately, was abused beyond the idea of just having a vampire with a conscience. Now you've got a vampire who is all shiny and pointless.
Shiny, literally.
I read those books and I watched that first movie because I didn't want to have a go at it just for the sake of everyone having a go at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie makes the idea of pedophilia positive. Also bestiality and rape.
Ew.
Seriously, it's sort of portrayed in this weird, obsessive teenage, it's all right because I am an obsessive teenage nutjob. Jesus Christ. The only thing I enjoyed about the book was the last 200 pages of the very last book, because they dropped the romance angle and just said, that's just how monsters versus monsters moment.
And
it was still
cool.
Sadly written,
yeah.
But it was just a little better. Could have had the creature hit a city at that stage, though, of course.
I really wish they would have continued with the Interview with the Vampire Chronicles, though, the Vampire Chronicles movie-wise. Queen of the Damned was kind of bad, though.
I never saw it. Never bothered.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through the book, so. The next one on the list, I think definitely counts as horror as 7. That's a movie that I knew the whole movie before I saw it, and I still loved it. And to this day, it's not a movie that I will ever own or want to see over and over again, but I'm still completely blown away by that film.
So did they tell you what was in the box?
See, that was the weird thing, is that at the time my brother had this friend, and he had gone to see it, and I was hanging out with him, and I was like, he was living with my brother and sister-in-law temporarily, and I was hanging out at their house, and he came home from seeing it, and I said, tell me the movie. I was so keen on it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally said, tell me the whole frickin' movie. And he did. He proceeded to tell me the whole movie, and he did it so well. I was literally, like, on the edge of my seat, and I'm having that was when I smoked, and I was, like, smoking cigarettes, and, like, oh, my God, this is awesome. So when I finally saw it, I did know everything. I knew what was in the box, but it did not hinder. It was one of the only times where it didn't hinder my enjoyment. If anything, I enjoyed it. I don't know if more because of that, but I mean, I still enjoyed that. That film is amazing because you never see any of the violence, but you think you do. Because you just see the aftermath of it, and your mind creates the act in your head. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see any of the murders in it, but you just see the aftermath, and it's so horrific.
I like 7. You know,
yeah, I have to say, it really is a brilliant film. I don't know that David Fincher's matched it since, but
never.
So.
He's tried.
No. Yeah. And then number one on this list, I'll say this underneath before I say what it is, well, I imagine many of you will be scratching your heads over this one. At the end of the day, it's enough of a horror film to qualify for this list, and it's obviously first and foremost a comedy, but it weaves the convention of supernatural fright films into the mix, and it's undeniably effective, and I think that's a good way of putting it. And the number one on this list is Ghostbusters. I was delightfully surprised to see it on the list.
I love Ghostbusters. But the thing is, I don't know very many people that don't jump with the library part, with the librarian. A lot of people will jump at that part. I'd say that's kind of spooky.
Well, I think especially if you saw it, like I was 13 when it came out, so I didn't, that librarian ghost didn't scare me, but if I was 5 years younger when I'd seen
I was about that age.
Yeah, exactly. That librarian, and it would stay with you. I think that the things that freak you out kind of stay with you even when you get older. You kind of, even if it's just because you kind of want to still be freaked out by it, if you will.
I think I was 7 or 8 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't born.
Yeah, but Mikey was.
Mikey wasn't even born yet.
I wasn't even a glint in the milkman's eye.
The milkman.
I don't want to be a milkman anymore!
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, the Irishman on and he said something about a milkman. I have to quote Father Dead. I'm sorry. So anyway, that's my horror news. Then Nicole, we had a couple of...
Oh, yeah. Just this past week, we really haven't had a lot of celebrities pass while we were gone, but this past week we've had two. The first one that came about was Clarence Clemons. Most people know him as the saxophone player for Bruce Springsteen. A lot of people might recognize his saxophone playing from The Simpsons. He was actually played saxophone parts on The Simpsons. So.
And he was also in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yep. And he just recently has been traveling with Lady Gaga. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's been getting around, and so he actually performed on her new album this way. So
why are we sullying his reputation with that? No, I'm just kidding.
he's a very
unfortunately. He,
yeah.
I don't know what happened to him, but I know he wound up in a coma, right? And then. And then he ended up passing.
Yeah, I don't think they've actually, because I've read several articles on his death, I don't think they've actually come out and said, he was 69 years old, so there could be a little bit of age there, you know, it just a harsh life of a rock and roller. So,
well, he wasn't much like that, but I will say, brilliant musician, and from all, like, things I've ever heard about the man, that he was just a stellar human being as well, so... That's the E Street Band won't be the same without him.
No, and Bruce Springsteen has sent out several different things, so you can read about what Bruce had to say about him.
They used to snog on stage every night.
Yeah.
Just a fun thing. He would do his big solo. And then, of course, we lost. This one was controversial. This just happened yesterday morning.
Yeah. Jack Adams star Ryan Dunn. He was only 34. He's my age. He
turned 34 like 9 days ago. 10 days. Oh.
Yeah, he died in a car accident. I was trying to read recent reports. I know he was drinking that night. I'm not sure if he was the one that was behind the wheel or not.
I think it was. People have all jumped to the conclusion. A lot of people, it was immediately reported, you know, that he posted a picture on Twitter saying that he'd been drinking with friends, you know. Don't know if he was drunk when he was driving. Don't know if he was driving. Don't know what. We don't know details. We just know he's gone. He was 34. He was probably my favorite member of Jackass. And I just, my heart goes out to his family and his girlfriend.
You look at these pictures and you just, his passenger or the other guy that was in the car was also killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the pictures of this car. There's nothing to it.
Oh, I haven't even seen the pictures.
Yeah, if you scroll down on that link, you can just see it's just, in shambles, so. I'm pretty sure we'll be hearing more about, the controversy behind this, so. But that is it for our memorials. That's all, those both happened this week, so. On some happier notes, you get it? Because I'm talking about Glee. Happier notes.
Nicole.
I know you're not a fan of Glee, and I actually gave up on Glee, but I've got to give them kudos for what they're actually doing. They're actually going to be graduating this class instead of what a lot of TV shows do. They find a good cast, and they're supposedly in high school. They got to graduate sometime. I thought it was like Saved by the Bell. They were in high school for, 10 years? They actually are going to be graduating this class and introducing new characters to the show this next season. So you're going to be seeing some new fresh faces. So the only people that you will be seeing for next season basically are the teachers.
Yeah.
So I got to give them kudos because it's a hit show and a lot of people have made it big from that show, but they are going to be graduating. So don't look to seeing your favorites next season besides the teachers. You got Sue Sylvester.
I have to say, I saw some of Glee a couple weeks ago. I just happened to be at my best mate Anthony's house. I had no idea Anthony loves this show. And I was just like, it came on, and the owner was like, okay, so now I'm seeing some of Glee. I never wanted to see some. It is conceivably the gayest show I've ever seen, I have to say, which there's nothing wrong with that. If it's your cuppa, it's your cuppa, but I just, no.
I actually enjoyed
spontaneous singing drives me nuts.
I actually enjoyed it for the longest time, but I can't watch it because their lip syncing is horrendous.
Yes, it was pretty bad.
I know Mikey's excited to watch Glee.
I am a buzz.
No, he was zoning it all out, I think.
Well, here's some fun news, I guess. David Chappelle's coming back.
I know somebody who's going to be real happy about this.
He's not coming back in the way that you think he is. Not coming back to TV. He's coming back to a paid subscription service through Netflix or Sony Crackle or Hulu. So he will be able to see his show, but you have to actually pay for it. He wants to try something different. He doesn't want to be bogged down with contracts. I mean, that's the reason why he left Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he could have made – he turned down a $50 million contract with Comedy Central. That still just blows my mind. That's amazing. But you know what? Good for him for standing up for himself. So look for some information coming out in the next year about his new project. But right now, he's just putting it out there in hopes that one of these companies will pick him up. And if there's
somebody,
they will pick him up because people love David Chappelle. I love his
show. Dave Chappelle is one of the smartest, funniest motherfuckers ever.
Dude, did you ever watch that show, Mikey?
Honestly, no. I don't think it was ever on Irish TV.
Have you ever seen, surely you've been in the chat at some point when my better half posted some sort of clip from the show.
Nope.
Really? Because Stu is all about sharing the Dave Chappelle love.
I'm going to tell you, one of the funniest moments I've ever seen on TV is when he plays the crackhead that goes...
Tyrone, something like that.
When he goes on to, oh crap.
You know, Joe Rogan, this isn't the first time I've tasted penis. Jesus Christ,
that is, it was a Fear Factor, yes. A Fear Factor, yeah. I was like, that extract, Fear Factor. And then he's just laying in a bunch of worms.
Have a nap, Joe Rogan. It's epically awesome.
One of the funniest clips I've ever seen in my life.
Black Bush, Black George Bush.
Oh, and then the black supremacist.
Yeah, he plays a guy, he's a white supremacist. He's actually a black guy, but he's blind and he doesn't know it.
And then he divorces his wife because
he's an N-word lover.
Yeah. Very controversial stuff, but funny as hell. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see what he's going to do next. So, and for last bit of TV news, Big Bang is going to be coming back next season, but they're going to make some kind of classic changes. There's this article here that does give some spoilers away, but I'm not going to mention the spoilers, so you could go and check out the article. But they are going to get away from more of the romantic settings between Leonard and the girls, and they're going to be getting back into the nerdy business, where more of the comic book stuff, more of the scientific stuff. They saw a lot of ratings drop when it got to, more of
it was a lot with Leonard having Priya last season and Penny being jealous and then Wallowitz getting engaged. And
yeah. So they're going to try to stay away from that. They'll still keep Wallowitz and Bernadette as the main romantic view because, they're engaged. But overall, they're going to be keeping up with more of the nerdy stuff. So I thought I'd let you guys know that.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So in music news, I've just got a couple of things here. Amy Winehouse has canceled her European tour because, my gosh, she's a wreck.
Because she's walking death.
Oh, my gosh. She was in – I forgot where she's at 2 days ago. Turkey. She was in Turkey. And her performance was just horrendous. No one could understand her. She was falling on stage. I think she was actually only on stage for 35 minutes. And so her production manager's like, no, we're canceling it. We're going to get you help. And she'll be returning back in a couple months when she returns to Spain. So look for that if you're an Amy Winehouse fan. My gosh, I'm surprised this woman is still alive.
Pickled. She's worse than Keith Richards.
Oh, God. And my last piece of music news. I love this. I love this because it talks about Weird Al. Well, Lady Gaga and Weird Al have found their happy ending. If you guys didn't know, Weird Al made a song, which is so funny, parodying Born This Way, called Perform This Way, but Lady Gaga did not like it, and so she was not going to give him the permission to do it. Because apparently he only sent her the lyrics, and so she was just reading these lyrics, and she was kind of getting offended by it. And so he decided to do the video anyways and sent her a 30-second clip of it, say, hey, this is what it's like, this is how I put it together. And then 2 days ago, she okayed it, and yesterday they released the video, and it's going to be on his album, and you can go check out the video. It's kind of freaky funny.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing, but I love it. I think I watched it a dozen times last night because it's Weird Al being Lady Gaga and all her funky outfits. I mean, the very beginning of the video, he comes out of the egg just like she did at the Grammy.
Now, it's not because it's some woman's body and they put his head over her face, over her head, and it's like, that just looks wrong.
It's disturbing, but it is so funny. I love it. And I love Weird Al. So they have come together, and they say, and Lady Gaga is like, hey, I kind of like this. So, but she had to see it with the music. She did not. If you listen to the lyrics, they're just funny as hell.
It always kills me when musicians get uptight about Weird Al. I'd be like, I wouldn't have to hear or see a thing. With Weird Al, I'd be like, go for it. Because he doesn't piss take.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he does it with respect, and he's got 30 some odd years of that behind him of doing that. You know what I mean? He's never once made an artist, you know, in a bad light. You know what I mean? So, why would you even worry about it? It's like, come on, it's Weird Al. He's not known for being a malicious person or, you know, it's not seething, you know, ironic, you know, piss-taking. It's just a parody.
Yeah, and his new album came out today, so Alpocalypse is out today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got to go get it. I downloaded, you know, Perform This Way, because it's so funny. Oh, my gosh. That video made me laugh every time I saw it. I'll put links into to the show notes so you guys can go watch the video. You'll be laughing, or you'll be terrified.
I couldn't. I watched a few seconds and shut it off because it was too weird. And then Stu watched it. And I watched his face while he watched it. He seemed a little disturbed. So,
yeah. Because he kind of makes fun of a little bit of Madonna in it too, and it's fun to see it. So,
get surgeon.
Yeah. that is it for my music news. So,
my metal news. I've got some metal news. It's very metal. The first thing I got is Slipknot, who lost bassist Paul Gray last year to the classic way of going for a musician in a drug overdose. They played their first show since his passing on Friday, June 17th, last Friday, from 25,000 fans at the Sonosphere Festival in Athens. His red jumpsuit, Paul Gray's red jumpsuit, mask, and bass guitar stood at the back of the stage while they performed. Interestingly, percussionist Sean Cran told reporters recently that they're going to keep him, that he'll always be a part of the show, basically. He said, just because he's gone, does that mean I have to take him out of the scenario? And the answer is no. He said they'll always have a part of him on the stage. They did have an old friend, Donnie Steele, who was the guitarist in an early incarnation of the band, was playing bass for them, but he was hidden from view, I guess, kind of out of respect for Paul Gray. No news of officially replacing him with somebody who would be on the stage, so to speak, but this is the first show that they've done since he passed, so it was in question whether or not they were going to continue at all, so I'm glad that they are. Corey Taylor, the lead singer, said to the crowd, he said, as you know, tonight's a very emotional show for us, but it's not a negative day. It's a positive day, a day for celebration, and this is our first show with you. Are you having a good time, and will you celebrate with us today? So I think that's kind of cool that they chose to remember him and honor him and not make it a sad thing. So I'm just glad they're back. And they play
it's
my favorite Slipknot song.
Yay. Yeah. So I hope it went off pretty well. I hope it so.
From what I've heard, it was a hell of a show, and the fans were very receptive and everything. So one thing I didn't realize, there was like a note at the end of this that Paul Gray, I knew that he had left behind a wife, but I didn't know that she had given birth to his daughter like 3 months after he died. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that she was pregnant, so he had a daughter posthumously, which really sucked, but... But, so yeah, Slipknot continues on. I haven't heard anything about a new album from them, but, and I think they're going to continue to do some European festivals over the summer, so.
Good.
I know Mikey's excited about it.
So you could go watch Slipknot instead of Amy Winehouse. Fine.
Wow, interesting choice. I believe that's called a dichotomy.
I think so.
Trade in your Amy Winehouse tickets for Slipknot tickets.
Or trading your Slipknot to Amy Winehouse.
There you go.
One, at least, you can see either a woman who had talent fall over, and because she was a talented woman, or you can see Slipknot, which, say whatever else you want about the fact that their music can occasionally boil down into the word fuck in an incredibly hoarse voice. at least they were doing something which was pretty decent.
Yeah.
When you think about what they did, I think that was pretty decent.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Cool. And then the next bit I have is about Metallica, because they're about to start writing, quote unquote, their new album, which at this point, maybe it'll be out by the time I'm 45. I don't
know. I was going to say, how long is it going to take?
Your guess is as good as mine, because these guys take forever in the studio and their stuff. Death Magnetic was quite a lot better than Saint Anger, but in my mind, Saint Anger didn't happen. So anyway, they're going to be back in the studio with Rick Rubin, who is a legendary producer for Slayer and Run DMC and all kinds of other bands. And he said that he's the one that said they're about to start writing. He said he had a meeting with Lars Ulrich, the little troll, as my sister-in-law calls him, and San Francisco. This kills me. They got the producer saying, you know, we met to explore what the focus was going to be this time around. It's like, oh my God, it's supposed to be a fucking heavy metal album. Don't think so hard about it. But anyway, he said, I'm still sort of thinking about what it's going to be. This scares me. Metallica are letting the producers decide too much these days, I think.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, they worked with...
themselves.
Yeah, well, they won't do that. They worked with Bob Rock for 15 years and made 5 albums, and those were the albums where they lost a lot of fans. But we'll see. We'll see what comes of this. So, what was this? Kirk Hammett. I thought this was interesting. Kirk Hammett was tweeting, who's the guitarist, was tweeting about some sort of secret project that he was doing. And apparently they're doing an album with Lou Reed from Velvet Underground, of all things. I don't like Velvet Underground. I don't like Lou Reed so much, the music. But they said, we are proud to announce that we have just completed recording a full-length album that is a collaboration with none other than the legendary Lou Reed. Ever since we had the pleasure of performing with Lou at the 25th anniversary of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at Madison Square Garden in October 2009, we needed all that, we have been kicking around the idea of making a record together. They also said, we have indeed been working at our home studio on and off over the last few months, and what would be lightning speed for a Metallica-related project, we recorded 10 songs during this time, and while at this moment we're not exactly sure when you'll hear it, we're beyond excited to share with you the recording sessions wrapped last week. So they've actually managed to record an album with Lou Reed fairly quickly, but God knows when they'll actually finish their own.
I guess we can just sit back and wait. That's basically all we can do.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like what they're doing at the picture at the bottom of this article. They just all seem to be kicked back in the studio, especially Lars. So, yeah, they're contemplating a new album, let's just say that. And we'll see what comes of it. I'll always love Metallica, but I might not always like their new stuff, let's just say that.
I have to agree with you.
I know.
We did a whole show on them, so.
I know.
No certain Grufflock Adam would agree with me on that too. I think Mr. Stew would as well. Last bit of news I have was I had no idea that this was even in the works, so to speak, so I was sort of nicely surprised by this. Scott Ian, who is the lead guitarist for Anthrax, and he's married to Pearl Adey, who is Meatloaf's daughter, his oldest daughter. They just had a baby. I didn't even know that she was pregnant, but she had a baby on Sunday. A little boy named Revel, R-E-V, as in Victor, E-L, not like, Rebel.
Like Rebel Tech?
Kind of.
You're broken.
Not quite the same spelling, but Revel Young Ian.
The baby has clicky joints.
Baby ridiculously articulated. Wow. Baby came into the world 3 weeks early, weighed in at 6 pounds, 9 ounces, but mother and son are both doing brilliantly. And Scott Ian posted on Twitter, as everything is posted on Twitter these days. If it didn't happen on Twitter, it didn't happen at all. In the Twitter post, he said that yesterday was the happiest day of his life, which I think is great. He's taking a break from the touring, which is obvious, you know, because he's got a new kid. So this is really cool. I just thought it was a nice thing that he has a baby.
Aw, little baby.
Even if they named
it. I know, with a crazy name.
It's just Revel Young Ian. It sounds like a start of a poem.
Well, the interesting thing is that Scott's name is actually Scott Ian Rosenfeld, but he's never used his actual surname. He's always used his middle name as his surname. So I'm thinking the kid's name should be Revel Young Rosenfeld. Maybe that doesn't have the same ring fit. I don't.
Maybe it's full name, Revel Young Rosenfeld Ian Stuff.
Stuff. Yes. Woo! He's got Meatloaf's grandfather and the Anthrax guitarist for a father. So
That kid's well off for the rest of his life.
This is true. This is true. And that's it for the metal stuff.
We've only got one piece of little extra news in our laboratory. I can't even stop. Time up there. Come on.
The scientist.
Yeah. So this happened while we were gone. It's a little bit of old talk. I still want to talk about it because
I'm sure you've talked about it on your other show, you harpy.
Yes, I know. I do like comic books, and I'm hoping other people might like it too. Now, if you never read comic books but you want to get into it, August 31st would be the perfect time to get into DC comic books. Why? They're rebooting everything. 52 books are going back to number one. They are going to change. Everything's going to take place in the same universe finally. Because everything, like, in the comic book world is, like, a little hodgepodgey, and you're trying to figure out, okay, where's what. So they're rebooting everything. But it doesn't mean just the storylines. They're changing the characters' relationships, their costumes, pretty much anything and everything. So, like Mikey, you said you didn't know a whole lot about the Green Lantern. Here's your chance to start fresh with Green Lantern.
Yeah, I've been thinking of this. First of all, didn't they do a massive continuity reboot in 2005?
Yes, but
didn't even give this one a decade.
Nope. They're going to end up with Flashpoint. They're doing it's called Flashpoint, and that's what's going to reboot everything at the end of the month.
I was having a chat with someone about this during the week, and he made a point that apparently they're talking about maybe making Barbara Gordon Batgirl again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fairly certain there's a lot of people snapping wood right now over that. Who are just, like, grabbing random bits of wood, snapping and yelling in rage.
Grabbing pencils and going, grrr, snap!
It does mean you're basically taking what is generally considered one of the best comics ever written.
Yeah.
Not just throwing it out the window, hurling it, and then yelling pull.
Well, yes, I was going to say, and like shitting all over it, basically. Yeah.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not a mainstream guy. When I read a comic, it's usually something side stream. But I am a continuity guy by nature. I do think.
Yeah,
now, when you're dealing with stuff like Marvel and DC, where it's 50, 60, 70 years of stuff, it gets hefty, so you only have like major points that you keep to. Mm. But this does just reek of we don't have an idea on how to. We're not getting sales with what we're getting, so what's the only thing we can do to really make comic book fans go, holy crap, what are they doing? It's erase everything. And I mean, if you've been following storylines recently, such as the whole Damian Wayne thing that was going on for the last few years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you were liking that, from what I hear people were, or people were enjoying Dick Grayson as Batman, or Secret Six.
That's the one that breaks my heart.
Yeah, we both know a certain Irishman who adores that series.
I love that. And I love that series.
A certain Irishman who has very passionate reactions to things. Let's say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might pick up a couple of the early ones just to see what they're doing. But it does.
I'll be
picking
up a bunch of them.
These things don't appeal to me because they are just if to use a Transformers reference, sticking this the Cyber Key gimmick in. It has no purpose. It's just, hey, look, shiny. And you are throwing out a lot of very well established and, from what I hear, some very good story elements which were rebooted 5 or 6 years ago. For no really good reason except you want to catch up to Marvel. And that does sort of make me go, Plus, I quite like the idea of Barbara Gordon being in a wheelchair and still being badass.
See, and I think that's what a lot of people are upset with. But you know what? Who knows what can happen down the line?
First issue of the new comic, Batgirl is shot in the spine by Joker.
Hey, that would make a great first issue, you know? That's something drama there.
But I don't like the whole we're going to make him younger thing, because that just screams Marvel.
Yeah, they're going to be pairing up different people than what you're used to. Lois Lane is not going to be the romance for Superman.
See, that's going to lie. The rage, I can hear Dave right now.
I was going to say Dave's going to have a conniption.
Yeah, so no, like, Lois Lane, he's going to be with Wonder Woman, so.
Oh, my God.
That's creepy.
See, this is what I mean. This doesn't have a major hit in me, but I am thinking. It's like with Transformers and the IDW and stuff, they constantly shifted stuff up until they realized that what they were doing was isolating the established fan base who want to see these stories continued on.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this being thrown out in a year and they just go back to the original story.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say a year from now, I see them trying to shoehorn all this new shit into all the canon that was before.
It'll be another continuity they've established, and they'll spend a year or so with this, and then it'll be, right, you've had the new stuff for a year, got you back in. Hey, remember Secret Six? Remember how Lois Lane and married? And remember Batgirl was in a wheelchair? Well, guess what? It's all still there. We're going back to that by mainstream continuity.
So a year from now, we'll just say it was all a dream.
I think it was either McFeely or JD, one of my co-hosts on Tamboy Versus. I can't remember who said it, though. I'd apologize, guys. They're like, either this is going to be the greatest move ever in a year from now. People are like, oh, this is wonderful that they did. Or you'll be seeing the stamp of Disney on top of it.
I kind of admire their cojones for doing this because it takes massive ones, but I really think that it's more stupid than brave. I don't think it's going to bode well because I just think, generally speaking,
I'm kind of excited at first just to see the designs.
I just think it's too many, like Mikey said, if it was a newer kind of world, you know what I mean? But we're talking DC, you know what I mean? DC's been around longer than Marvel, for fuck's sake. I mean, it's sort of the oldest, most established cartoon line. I'm right in that, right? DC came before Marvel, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. But it's just, it's so huge. I don't know. And I'm, like Mikey said too, I'm very much continuity and I don't hold canon and mythology and stuff as sacred necessarily, but I can't get away from it either. So, I don't know.
I'm kind of excited and scared at the same time. Like I said, I like these new designs that they're showing.
They're not a million miles from what was, though.
Superman doesn't have his red underwear anymore. he's just got the old all blue suit. And
they gave them all like high collars, like next generation collars.
From what I know, what little I know about how these things work, I honest to God expect this to be shelved. in about a year.
Yep, me too.
I'm not. I mean, I don't expect Disney's name to turn up in DC anytime soon, but I am expecting them to try. There will be a time in the next 6 or 7 months where this new stuff pans out because it doesn't have the flair of being new, which is why we get stuff like Flashpoint and Black Knight and everything, because they're event stories, they're brand new things that drag people in. What I see in a year's time, we're going to get something that shifts your attention back to what they'd already established.
Well, the thing is, some of these new reboots are not going to be found physically. You can only find them on digital downloads.
See, that's just supports it for me, because they don't think they can sell this in shops. That
scared me almost more than anything. Yeah, I don't like that.
I was reading the article and it was saying, this is so we can attract people who wouldn't go into a comic shop, blah, blah. People who won't go into a comic shop won't download it. Simple as that.
See, because most people, like, I've read comic books online. I might be old-fashioned. I like that turning the page and seeing the
pretty
characters. Yeah, it's part of the experience. And if you're willing to... The people who are going to be downloading these comics are the exact same people who'd be going out and buying it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to be people who
wouldn't. I don't think you're
going to
get any new readers that way. Or at least not enough to make any significant difference. It does strike me as, in a year's time, will this new stuff be Ultimate DC? Will it be, it's not going to be the mainstream. Is it just going to be, here are your younger characters that are shunted to the side so that we can get back onto the stuff? Especially... if they weren't changing as much as they were, because I know DC has the relationship between Lois and Clark, it's been so established for decades. If they weren't changing stuff like that or Barbara Gordon, I might go, this will probably stick, but I don't trust this kind of move because they know full well what effect this is going to have on people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's, you know, a bit of an amateur viewpoint here. But.
We'll see in 2 months. Was it 2 months' time? Yeah, just about 2 months' time how it goes.
Batman will be the lesbian this time.
Who was the lesbian last time?
Batwoman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Batman's owned it.
And Gail Simone, who did Secret Six, is going to be working on Batwoman. So.
Cool.
I love Secret Six. That's what brings me more than anything.
Oh, God.
My mama told me when I was hatched, act like a superstar. Save your allowance, buy a bubble dress, and someday you will go far. Now on red carpets, well, I'm hard to miss. The press follows everywhere I go. I'll poke your eye out with a dress like this. Back up and enjoy the show. I'm sure my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can fight me, baby, I perform this way. I might be wearing Swiss cheese or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way. Perform this way. Ooh, my little monster's pain. Life's good, I perform this way. Baby, I perform this way. Perform this way. Ooh, don't worry, I'm okay. Hey, I just perform this way. A troll or evil queen, I'll be a human jelly bean, cause every day is Halloween. I'm so completely original, my new look is all the rage. I'll wrap my small intestines round my neck and set fire to myself on stage. I'll wear a porcupine on my head on a WHIL. French, excuse me, Joaquin APT. Got my straight jacket today, it's made of golden lame. No, not because I'm crazy, I perform this way. I strap my grip to my feet, cover myself with raw meat. I'll bet you've never seen a skirt stay worn this way. Don't be offended when you see my latest pop monstrosity. I'm strange, weird, shocking, odd, bizarre. I'm Frankenstein, I'm Avatar.
there's nothing too embarrassing. I'll honestly do anything but wear white after Labor Day, cause baby, I perform this
way. Hope you won't think it's cliche if I go nude today. Don't call the cops now, baby, I perform this way. No reason I should regret all the attention I get. I'm not completely crazy, I perform this way, yeah.
This way, hey, I perform this way, hey, I perform this way, hey, I'm really not insane, I just perform this way, hey.